Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
We hate to wait. We hate to wait, right? You're in a traffic jam, you're driving, you don't know how long it will take. It's like, no. Or you call a company about a bill, and the operator says, can I please put you on hold? No. Hello? Hello? No! Or you go to church and the sermon just seems to be going on and on and on. And you're thinking, is this ever going to end? But that's never happened to you here, right?
No.
Right? Yeah, yeah. You go to the doctor's office. The doctor's office actually has a room dedicated to waiting, and they call it the waiting room. You know, what's interesting is the one person you never see waiting in the waiting room is the doctor. When I go to the doctor, I want the receptionist to say, why don't you go into the doctor's office, get some work done, and when you're ready, we'll send the doctor in to you. In the meantime, he'll be waiting in the waiting room. That's what I want. Or if you ever go to Disneyland, the waits are crazy, right? And they put up these signs that say, like, from this point on, it will be another 3 days before you get on the Jungle Cruise. I have this idea that we should have those signs for like real life, like a sign that says, from this point on, it will be 6 months till you find a spouse. Or from this point on, it will be 4 years till your kids start acting like grown-ups. Or from this point on, it will be 10 years till your husband starts acting like a grown-up. That's the signs I want. We hate to wait. We hate to wait. And Star Wars fans know all about waiting. Right, the first three movies came out in 1977, 1980, and 1983. And in those first three movies, we got introduced to the story. And especially in the first two movies, we learned that even though sometimes things seem bad, there's reason to hope. And then in the third movie, Return of the Jedi, everything ends in victory as the evil empire is destroyed. Then, a 16-year wait. But then, finally, in the year 1999, the fourth movie in the series came out, The Phantom Menace. People were so excited, they partied like it was 1999, perhaps because it was indeed 1999, until they saw the movie and were introduced to the character of Jar Jar Binks. And then they cried like it was 1999. Misa say, no! But in The Phantom Menace, we learn about the birth of Anakin Skywalker. We learn that his birth was by immaculate conception, which means his mother was a virgin. Those of us who attend Verve regularly, we have learned that what theologians call a virgin birth is baby without bow chicka wow wow. So in some churches, they'll have a tradition, like a Christmas Eve tradition maybe, where the pastor will say something and everyone will respond with a certain something. So like the pastor might say, peace be with you. And the congregation all says, and with you. I think that we should have a Christmas Eve Verve tradition where I say baby without and you all go bow chicka wow wow. All right, we're going to establish that tradition tonight. Don't tell anybody outside of Verve because I will lose my pastor license. There's not really a pastor's license, but if there was, I would lose it. So, in this movie, we learn that Anakin Skywalker is born of a virgin, and there's something different about him. He has an incredibly high midichlorian count, which means,
The Force is strong in this one.
He has the Force, right? And it was a really dark time, but the birth of Anakin Skywalker and this good use of the Force, it brought balance to the time. It brought balance, and it's like when he was born, the Force awakened. The next two movies came out in 2002 and 2005, and we learn what led up to the original three movies and to the ultimate triumph of victory over the evil empire. And it seemed like everything was done. And for Star Wars fans, a 10-year wait. But now we know that the story actually continues with the Force Awakens. In the movie, it's been so long since the events of the first six movies that people have started to wonder if maybe it was a myth. Maybe it was just like a legend that's grown over time. But Han Solo assures them, no, it's all true. All of it. And it turns out that there wasn't the happy ever after ending we thought there was back in Return of the Jedi. It turns out that there is still evil. There's still a dark side. There are still battles to be fought. But hope is not lost because the Force awakens. And it's exciting times for Star Wars fans because man, they've been waiting for so long. There's another group of people who know all about waiting. People who decide to put their faith in God. People who decide that what I want to do with my life is I want to love and I want to worship God. They know all about waiting. The first books of the Bible, the Old Testament, start coming out at about 1500 B.C., and they go through about 400 B.C. In those first books, we get introduced to the story. And we see God interacting with people, and he speaks to people. And though sometimes things aren't great, we learn in those first books that there's always a reason for hope because God promises that he is going to send a Savior, a Messiah, and then a 400-year wait. 400 years of silence. Silence. And I think that we can relate to God being silent. I think probably most of us can relate to that because most of us have probably had some times in our lives where maybe we tried to connect with God or maybe we prayed for something or we hoped for something and it just felt like God was giving us the silent treatment. You know, maybe you kind of got so upset about it, it almost started to feel like God was playing some kind of game with you. When I was a kid, my younger sister and I would sit in the back seat during long trips, and we would ask the question all kids ask on long trips. We would ask, are we there yet? Right? And we would complain in the back seat about how it was too cramped and we were too hot or too cold or we were too hungry or too thirsty. And then my mother would propose this idea. She would say, oh, I know what. You should play the quiet game. Some of you know. The way the quiet game is played is you just be quiet. You just don't make a sound. It's a very simple game. We were very simple children. But my mother would say, it's a wonderful game. You should play the quiet game. Do you know how you win the quiet game? Whoever's quiet the longest wins the quiet game. My mother got a lot of mileage out of this stupid game. But I will never forget the day we were driving along and playing the quiet game when all of a sudden this wonderful thought occurred to me. This liberating thought. It was, I don't have to play the quiet game. I can be unquiet. I can speak. I don't think my mother will punish me if I make a sound. And even if she does, nothing could be as bad as having to be quiet mile after mile after mile. I don't have to play the quiet game anymore because I'm 17 years old and I don't have to do this anymore. And for 400 years, it felt to people like God was playing the quiet game. He was silent. And then, finally, the silence was broken. In the year that would later become known as the year zero, Jesus was born. Someone has said that the Christmas story is not about one silent night. It's about something that happens after 400 years of silent nights. And the first few books of the New Testament, the part of the Bible after Jesus comes, we learn about the birth of Jesus, that he was born by immaculate conception. His mother was a virgin. It was a baby without... Bam! That just happened! You did it! It wasn't perfect. Some of you weren't in on it, but it was pretty good. It happened. Woo! Man! If you want, we can just go. Like, I set that up like 10 minutes ago. You guys did it. Pretty good. Oh, man. All right, that happened. I was wondering. I gotta be honest, I wasn't 100% sure of you guys, but you did it. It was slow, but you did it. Baby without... Better. You're not going like, wow, wow. You're just like, bow chicka, wow, wow. Like, bow chicka, wow, wow. All right. So, remember, don't tell anybody. Shh, this is our little secret. So, we learn that Jesus is born of a virgin. We also learn that there was something different about this baby. That he had the presence of God inside of him. He was actually like God in the flesh. God lives in this one. I can't do Yoda anymore. I'm losing my voice. And when he was born, it was like the Force awakened. Here's one of my favorite things about this story. When God breaks the silence, 400 years of silence, he does it to a bunch of shepherds. Back then, shepherds would have been looked down on by just about everybody. No one would have thought of them as being special or valuable. But of all people, God chooses a group of shepherds to break the silence and give his birth announcement of his son to. Let's look at it. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, we're going to put the verses on the screen for you, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Of course they were. I mean, this wasn't normal. It's been 400 years of not hearing from God, and now this. They must have been scared to death. Verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." You know, at Christmas, sometimes you might hear this term, the good news. You'll hear people talk about the good news. The good news, the angel says, is for all people. And it's that God... is for us, that God loves us and God came for us to save us from ourselves, from our stupid decisions, from our sin, and that he wants to bring us into relationship with him and someday bring us to heaven with him. That's the good news. But you know, also part of the reason the birth of Jesus is good news is because it breaks the silence. And even more, it's also good news because it helps us, check this, to understand the silence. It speaks to what God does during the silence. Perhaps one of the most important lessons we learn from Christmas, this Christmas story, is don't mistake God's silence for God's absence. Don't mistake God's silence for God's absence. And I'll just admit, that's the conclusion I too easily jump to in my life when I feel like God hasn't been answering me, hasn't been coming through for me. It's just so easy for me to go straight to, God, you just don't care. God, you're just not there for me. God, you must care about other people more than you care about me. No. Don't mistake God's silence for God's absence. And one reason we know that's true is because the angel says, this will be a sign. This will be a sign. And you might be like, well, what's the big deal? It's a sign. But there's actually a lot going on. There's a lot packed into that statement. So it actually points back to 700 years before the birth of Jesus, when a prophet from the Old Testament named Isaiah wrote about this promised Savior that God was going to send. We'll put on the screen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. There's that word. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, in the original language that was written in, which is Hebrew, means God with us. He'll be called God with us. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, long before the 400-year season of silence, Isaiah said, you need to know that even if he's silent, even if God feels absent, God is with you. My guess is probably some of you have written God off as kind of an absentee landlord. You know, like, maybe he exists, but even if he does, he kind of shows up here, he shows up there. But when you need him the most, he is nowhere to be found. But the angel tells us a different story. And Jesus came to let us know that even in the darkness, even in the silence, even in the waiting, even when you're afraid, God is with you. Right? That's what the sign means. God is with you. Don't mistake God's silence for God's absence. The silence does not mean that God is absent. In fact, what we see in this story is when God is silent, it's probably a sign that God is up to something bigger, something better, something you couldn't expect, something you wouldn't even be prepared for, something you can't see quite yet. And that he is going to show up when you least expect it. Man, is that good news. Right? We need that. We need that good news because we've all had those times. Right? You've had those times. Maybe some of you are like, I'm in those times right now. Those times when it feels like nothing good is happening in your life. When you're trying to move forward, but you just keep moving backwards. It feels like everything is against you and things get dark and you just start to lose hope. And maybe you even have some faith. So perhaps you actually, in that moment, you turn to God and maybe you pray and you ask God, do something. Do anything. And you're met with silence. And that's when things just get worse, when you really start feeling despair because you start to think, I really am alone. God's not answering. God's not doing anything. God is absent. No. Christmas tells us a different story. Don't mistake God's silence for God's absence. Listen, in your life, God has not withdrawn. God is at work. And his silence is a sign that something bigger is coming in your life. It's a sign that something greater is going to happen in your life. Something you couldn't expect. Something you're not even prepared for. Something you can't see quite yet. And God is going to show up when you least expect it. Man, that is a reason for hope, right? That is a reason that you can just say, I don't ever have to give up hope. There's always reason for hope, and that is good news. And that's what Christmas does for us. Jesus' birth brings us that good news. And then Jesus grew up, and he started sharing God's love with people and teaching incredible truth. And he was doing miracles. And he was just ministering to people's needs. And it's going so well. It's like Jesus brought balance. But then Jesus was arrested. And he was put on trial. And he was tortured. And he was crucified. And it seemed like evil. This was a time when evil powers were ruling and hypocritical religion was ruling. And in that moment, it just seemed like evil had won and hypocritical religion had won. But then 3 days later, Jesus walks out of the grave alive. And his resurrection is a triumph of good over evil. And it just seems like everything is done and you get to that page and it's like, this is the Return of the Jedi moment, the happy ending we've been waiting for. But then we learn that the story actually continues. I mean, here we are 2,000 years later. Enough time has gone by from then to now that people have started to wonder, maybe he's just a myth. Maybe the Bible's just full of legends that have grown over time. No, it's true. All of it. You can prove it's true. But it does turn out that there was not the happy ever after ending some people thought there was. Turns out that there's still evil. There are still battles to be fought, which, by the way, is exactly what Jesus said would happen. I mean, even for people who do choose God, who choose to be with God, love God, worship God, life can still be hard, still lots of difficult things to deal with. But hope is not lost because the force awakens. Remember when Jesus came, it was said that he would be called Emmanuel. That's the big change that Jesus brought to the world, Emmanuel. And what Emmanuel means is God with us. And that is still true. God is with us. The question is, are you with God? Are you with God? Because he won't force you to be with him. He won't force us. But as Princess Leia says in the new movie, if you've seen it, the force calls out to you. He loves you. He wants you to choose him. He's calling you, but it's your choice. Do you want to be with God? If you do, if you invite him in, God will always accept that invitation. And God comes into your life and he will be with you. Like in the Bible, God says that he literally will come into your life, like to fill you with his presence and live inside of you. God comes into your life in a way that changes you. It starts to give you this peace that passes understanding and hope even in the darkest times and a power beyond your own. And so if you choose to be with God, God is with you. And it's like things change. The force awakens. I think of my friend Ross. Ross one night got the phone call that every parent dreads. The police called and told him that his 17-year-old son, Chris, had died in a car accident. He was asked to come down to the morgue and identify the body. The morgue director who was there that night later said, "This happens often, and when parents come in and have to identify their kid's body, they curse, they scream, they kick things and throw things." He said, "I've never seen anything like what happened when Ross came." He walked in, he draped his body over his son's, and he said, "God, thank you that Chris knew Jesus. Thank you for your love and your grace." And he walked out. It wasn't that he wasn't sad. He was sad. It wasn't that he was in denial. He wasn't in denial. It's just that God was with him. And God gave him a peace that passed understanding and a hope even in that dark time and a power beyond his own. Now, I think of other friends of mine who have gone through not being able to have a baby, not having a job, struggling with depression, being trapped in a painful marriage, battling and finally succumbing to cancer. And of course they didn't enjoy it. No one enjoys it. But watching these people was amazing because they prayed. And yeah, they waited for God to change their circumstances. And sometimes he didn't. But still, they believed that God was with them despite the silence. And they believed that God was up to something bigger in their life, something greater, something they couldn't expect, something they weren't probably prepared for, something they couldn't see quite yet. And so they waited. And God gave them a peace that passed understanding and a hope in their dark time and a power beyond their own. And here's the cool thing. You can have that too. Like that could be your life. You can have that too. That's the good news of Christmas. It's for all people. God is for the rest of us, and God has come for us, and he wants to be with you. He's just waiting for you to invite him in, for you to invite him into your life And then each day you have the opportunity to invite him into that day. If you want to do that, and maybe you never have, I want to tell you that we're here for you, and we would love to walk with you through that decision and what that looks like. You can use that connection card I mentioned. You can mark that, and we can contact you. You can grab somebody behind the Velcro bar or grab me after the service. We'd love to talk to you. But listen, if you do that, if you invite God in your life and then start to invite God into each day, it will change that day. And day by day, you'll be changed. You'll be changed in the best way possible. You'll be changed in a way you probably can't imagine you changing in. And that's good news. So let's pray for that. Let's pray. God, I love the Christmas story. You know, we get excited about Christmas, and there's so many fun things. We're excited maybe about gifts tomorrow or parties we're going to go to, having family or friends in town. But the good news of Christmas, the thing we want to focus on, is that you came to be with us, that you love us despite what we've done, despite where we've been, despite how we feel about ourselves. No matter how imperfect we are, you still love us with your perfect love. And you came for us, and you invite us to be with you. God, my prayer this Christmas is that every person in this room would make a decision, if not tonight, if they haven't in the past, soon. God, I invite you into my life. God, I want to live life with you, because that changes everything. God, thanks for coming for us. Thanks for loving us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.